Yeah, so we've had a week of dogs. It was an interesting week. We had Lily, our Rottweiler, into Summit, and if anybody knows Summit, you know that just means you write a really big check. So we had Lily in there getting something checked out, and it turned out that she's a hypochondriac, and there was really nothing going on, but, you know, it was a very expensive way to find out that she's a hypochondriac. But, and then yesterday, it was just time for shots, so we took our dog. Our favorite vet is down in Tenino, so we're going to have a nice outing for the day, and we go out, we get on the freeway, and of course, there's an accident. So it's jammed up. We're not going anywhere in a hurry, and we're in the car with our dogs, and we finally get down there, and the vet's kind enough to take us very late for our appointment, and we know that the STP is happening, and we have all these things that we're trying to balance as we do that, and we're coming back, and Karen's on the phone talking to her sister about what's going on with her mom, who's, you know, and Karen's mom, Millie, is been put into an assisted living situation, and so we're very aware of these passings of seasons. And as she's talking to her sister about what's going on with her mom, we're coming up on Pacific Avenue exit there in Olympia, and I say, should I get off and go to the co-op? So we do. Anyway, so this is a long story to say, you know what? We bought a tomato. I know that doesn't sound like a big deal necessarily because tomatoes are around all the time. But you know what you get at the grocery store are these hydroponic things. And I just love that we now grow tomatoes without any dirt at all. And we float them in dirty water and they pick up the nutrients they need. And you get this thing that is so interesting. I mean, it is the right color. It's the right shape. In fact, they're kind of specially shaped so you can stack them in boxes and maximize your load for shipping. And it's also, and you can pick them fairly green and they do what, I mean, you can say they ripen, but you eat those things. And it reminds me of when I was a philosophy student, I first learned about Plato's World of the Forms, where, you know, what we experience here is a shadow image. It's a shadow of an image of something that exists in reality. And that's kind of what I think of hydroponic tomatoes. They kind of sort of look like tomatoes, and there's something in them that reminds you that somewhere in the universe there is something that actually is a tomato, but this ain't it. And yesterday we got a tomato. Yeah, and it was just this gorgeous thing. It was kind of orange and red, and it had these beautiful colors, and it's an heirloom tomato. It's organically grown in real dirt. And we put a slice of that on top of a burger. And, you know, it was so awesome. I absolutely loved dinner last night with real tomato. That if something's going to grow and actually be of value, it can't be sanitary. And I think about the parable that Susan just read to us. You know, I remember long, long ago when I was a young life leader, and we were supposed to be preparing people's hearts so that they could receive the gospel and they would all grow and have much fruit and they would all invite people to come to Young Life and we would have growing membership. I remember carrying the guilt of not being good enough always. That it didn't really seem to matter what I did. I never felt like it was all about me anyway, and I really wanted to trust God as part of this process, but had this heavy pressure to be one who cultivated the ground and got the kids ready to receive the gospel, I believed that the only seed that was of value was the seed that landed on the well-prepared soil. But you know, if it weren't for bird poop, there would be no tomatoes. You know, the birds that pick up the seeds off of the ground and they run it through their digestive system and they add to it all kinds of elements that are actually important for a tomato to be a tomato, they are doing their part for the kingdom of God too. And those sprouts that come up and they don't have deep roots and they only shine for a little while, but they shine so bright and they're so beautiful and they make the pathway gorgeous as one walks through it. And you know that's not of no value. And even the seed that grows up among the weeds, it's not for nothing. You know, it grows and it anchors the ground and it puts its nutrients into the ground and it prepares for maybe a long time down the road for this plot of ground to become that which is fertile that can grow the hope and possibility of God's word and promise. And so I came to this parable with new eyes again, realizing so much that it's not about me, it's not about us. It's about what God's doing in the midst of life and in our lives. And the way God calls forth those who help us along this path. To know that whoever we are, wherever we are, at exactly the moment we find ourselves, we are good enough, we are enough for God to use us in some kind of profound and significant way. And so the beauty of this gospel reading, a parable that quite honestly I've never liked very much until this time around, because I really didn't want to think that so much of the seed was going to waste, and it doesn't seem to me that in God's world really anyone or anything genuinely goes to waste. So I've made peace with this parable this time around, and I kind of hold that, and I think about how complicated life can be. I think of my long time of knowing Reverend Don Keller. I remember, it was actually Paul, I think, who stuck me on the committee with Don and Carol as they were doing Presbytery Day, and we were trying to plan those things out and figure out how you make it work and how you have a day that's actually meaningful and inviting, and Don's wisdom coming alongside me. And in my youthfulness, you know, I was a lot smarter back then. But, you know, Don having the ability to rein me in a little bit and to really take a look at the larger picture. And, you know, sometimes we brought in speakers who weren't even Presbyterian. In fact, they weren't even Reformed. And I was going, is that really who we want to be bringing our message to our Presbyterian sisters and brothers? And they convinced me, that God can speak in ways that are outside of my box, and that maybe some really good things can come out of that. So I ran into Don at the Urban Onion on occasion. And when the Presbytery made a decision that I felt was wrong in my session, Don signed on to the complaint, and we took that thing. I mean, how many people actually get to walk all the way through the judicial process of the PCUSA? But we walked through that, and Don and I together, Carol and some number of people who are here today were part of that process of walking through this desire to make our denomination, our presbytery, live into the best of its hopes and its values. Don and I always had a joke, really up until 2013, I guess, that we were kind of having a competition for who could be on more losing sides of the vote at presbytery. You know, in fact, it was always kind of a hoot. I think I was on of the contested votes of presbytery, I was on the winning side one time. And I think Don might have voted again, so he might have had a perfect record. I'm not exactly sure on that one. But you know, you keep showing up, and sometimes your heart's being broken. Sometimes your heart's broken within the church, and sometimes you're fearful of where it's going. And thank God that there are brothers and sisters who march with you along that journey. Thank God that there are people who are willing to show up and be present and express their love and their hope for whatever it is that God might be doing in the midst of this moment. So we spent a lot of time together and losing, didn't we, Don? Now, we spent more time losing at Presbytery than Don ever did at softball, to tell you the truth. So he pitched softball for 60 years, and Becky and Susie, who are out kind of working on the dinner. But I remember when Don actually was teaching them tricks of fast pitch and how important that was to them to have this, you know, old guy come alongside and actually be able to show them in their youthful vitality things that they could learn to be better at being athletic. It was like just such this fun juxtaposition of what I thought might be going on, but Don did that beautifully and really helped young people to continue to grow and to be. And you know, life, as Don's life, as all of our lives, is kind of this mixed bunch of stuff. We have so many blessings, so many things that we hold dear, and we remember and we celebrate our wedding days and the birth of our children. When grandkids come along, and you pray those prayers, and you hold the hope, and you sometimes watch when things don't go as you had prayed and hoped, and you hold the pain, and you try to find your way forward out of difficult situations, and as we continue to live, and as life continues to shape us and form us. It seems we do a pretty good job of becoming ever more who we genuinely are. And so I even on this day, for Don and for each one of us, I think, I can speak of the pieces of our lives that have engendered us, have filled us, have given us hope, have given us confusion, those things that felt like death itself, when we would lose a child, when we'd lose a spouse, or when we would lose our sense of identity and realize that we're really not who we thought we had been. And we have to find our way to be true to who God is helping us discover we are at this moment. And I think of the words of Paul as he's in prison writing to the Christians at Rome in preparation for his coming there. Kind of feeling the whole of it, you know, back on the road to Damascus when he got knocked off his horse and, you know, received the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And I would guess that at that moment in his life, Paul was pretty sure that me and Jesus, we got this thing going on, and life is going to unfold, and it's going to be lovely, you know. And the Spirit of God is with me. Christ is with me. I can go forward. I can change the world. I can God and me. And then life happens, and Paul writes his fateful letter to the Galatians. And in the letter of Galatians, he said some stuff that really bothered those who were leading the Christian movement. And they called him into Jerusalem. And they made him account for what it was that he had said, and he was under arrest. And it was while he was under arrest there that he decided that he needed to explain himself more faithfully. And so he wrote the letter of Romans. The quiz of the island, you know, if you found yourself deserted on the island and you could only have one book of the Bible, which one would it be? For me, it's no contest. It's the book of Romans. And if I could only have one chapter, it would be chapter 8. And so I just want to read to us, share with us some words from Paul in the wisdom that he found in a time in his life where things were not going as he had thought they were going to. And he realized that who he is faithful to God, even though the path was not unfolding the way he had hoped and anticipated. So we pick up the gospel in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with us in sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be formed in the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, he will not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. No, my friends. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Friends, I know many of you, I think all of you know Don pretty well. And there's been lots of grist for the mill, lots of pain, lots of manure, if you will, in his life. The farm boy. The farm boy, yeah, exactly. And now from the loss of a baby girl, just hours old, to the moving back and forth of churches, to experience the hope of a marriage and the pain of a divorce, to walk with a brother through dementia and death, to hold in balance the blessings of life with the difficulty and the pain of life, to become deeper through each experience that God gives us, that God gives one, and to stand and know that our Redeemer lives, and that our lives are whole and complete in ways beyond our imagining, that the moments, the days, the hours of our activities are known by God. Even before I formed you in the womb, I knew you all together. Before I laid out the days of your life, I consecrated each one of them. And Don, so stepping outside of the sermon just a little bit and with a blessing, I praise you for a life well lived, for just flat showing up and continuing to show up, and for being open to the voice of the Spirit in those darkest moments, and for taking that difficulty and turning it into fertilizer that people could trust your integrity when you would sit with them at time of crisis, that people who would never darken the door of a church would have a confidant that they could trust as you played softball with them. The way that your life, one step at a time, both in your formal role and in the whole of your life, spoke witness to the love of God and to the blessing and sanctifying of an individual life. And so I honor you this day. Let us pray. Lord God, journeys all begin with little steps. Even before that is maybe some planning and wondering, finding our way to a path that seems right, having people come alongside of us that encourage us. Lord, the steps we make along the way are always kind of wobbly. Whenever we feel perfectly sure of where we're headed, we're probably going the wrong direction, for we need to be constantly aware of how your Spirit is guiding us and where your love is taking us. And so we give thanks for this day, for remembering in our own lives the way that you have been guiding us and calling us and inviting us forward, and celebrating the way that you have worked in the life of Don Keller to guide him and to resource him and to give him a heart that never gave up, that continued you to be incredibly soft, and that received your seed and has grown much fruit. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.